And for all those marhum and marhuma, if I may request. Rahmallahu man kara al-Fatiha.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا وحبيبنا حبيب إله العالمين محمد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المنتجبين ولا تحسبن الذين قتلوا في سبيل الله امواتا بل احياء عند ربهم يرزقون. Do not think those who are killed in the way of Allah are dead. They are alive and are provided for before their Lord. والذين قتلوا في سبيل الله فلن يضل أعمالهم. Those who are killed in the way of God, Allah would never let their blood go vain. سيهديهم ويصلح بالهم ويدخلهم الجنة عرفها لهم. He will make them enter a garden which he has especially scented for them. What did Hussein teach us? What did he tell us? Who in the past nations can we find similar to Hussein? I say many. John, Yahya, John the Baptist, who came and told to the Jews that your mechanical prayers is of no use. You need soul, you need the spirit. He revived the souls. It is said that when Imam Hussein alayhi salam was traveling from Mecca to Kufa, at every hilltop, and whenever he landed, and whenever he rided, he mentioned, he remembered John, Yahya, the Baptist, and asked rahmah and mercy for him, because his mission was the same mission, to tell the people that Islam is not about power, is not about glory, is not about mechanical worship. It is about God. He was just like Jesus, who came to the Jews as Messiah. They thought he will come with a sword to bring them power and make them the masters of the world. But when he came, he told them, I do not bring the kingdom of man. I bring the kingdom of God. And kingdom of God is different from the kingdom of man. Hussein taught us that Islam has nothing to do with the dynasties who ruled in the name of Islam. Has nothing to do with Umayyads or Abbasids or Ottomans or Safavids. Islam is something which sprouts in the heart. It gives life to the souls. And through his lessons, we have learned how to practice Islam. We have learned that Islam is not about power. It's about love, sacrifice, and about spirit of faith rather than mechanical practicing of it. As all these 30,000 men before riding and charging to kill Hussein, they did their prayers, of course. And they all were reading the book of God. Why reading the book of God did not avail them? Why didn't they understand anything of this book? because they were soulless. There was no soul. If there's no soul, no worship, no prayer, nothing would benefit. So let's never think after Hussein. Let us never think about Islam as glorious civilization. It's not. Glorious civilization everyone can build. Kingdom of man, everyone can create. But kingdom of God, only people like Jesus and John and Hussein can create. Now, a little bit about what happened in the day of Ashura. We just read the text, which is a translation of the Maqatil, to remember what Hussein did for us and what we have learned from him. In the twilight of the morning, this is the day of Ashura, Hussein's voice reverberates through the stars, the moon, and the surrounding hilltops. Allahumma anta thiqati fi kulli karb wa raja'i fi kulli shiddah. My Lord, it is you in whom I trust amid all grief. You are my hope in all hardship. How many an affliction fell upon me in which the heart waned, the means diminished, the friends deserted, and the foes rejoiced. But I brought it to you. Your help alone I sought, and you held it off and comforted my heart. You are the source of all grace, the possessor of all good, and the ultimate resort of all desire. The army of Ibn Sa'd, fully prepared, moves forward with its cavalry, foot soldiers, and archers. Drums are beaten and army trumpets are blown. On the other side, the small band of Hussein's soldiers is standing in full preparation. After saying the prayer, Hussein rides his horse and goes to his army. Despite its small size, it is organized as a standard army with cavalry, foot soldiers, and archers. The right wing is committed to Zuhair with a cavalry of 16 riders. The left wing is committed to Habib ibn Mudahir with the same number of cavalry. The foot soldiers do not exceed 40 men. Hussein gives the standard to his brother Abbas. The Kufan army is approaching in an imposing formation. Amr ibn al-Hajjaj is in command of the right wing. Shemr is in command of the left wing. Urwa ibn Qais is in command of the cavalry. Shabath ibn Rab'i is commander of the foot soldiers, and Durayd carries the standard. Hussein has positioned his army with their tents at the rear in a semicircle formation. As the Kufan army comes forward, Shemr charges with his cavalry to attack Hussein from the back of the tents. Hussein and his men watch them approaching. They get closer with no visible reaction from Hussein's side. As they draw near, Hussein orders the firewood in the trenches to be set alight. Shemr and his men manage to stop and calm their scared horses down with some difficulty. As they find no way to penetrate Hussein's camp from behind, Shemr shouts at the top of his voice, "Hussein, you have rushed into the fire of the hell before the day of judgment." Hussein asks, "Who's that? It sounds like Shemr." Of course, Hussein knew all these men because he lived in Kufa for a long time. "Yes, my lord, it is him," said Habib. Hussein calls out, "You are more deserving of that." Muslim ibn Awsajah sees Shem within shooting range and takes his bow and targets him. But Hussein pushes his arrow down. "Let me shoot at him, my lord," said Muslim. "He's a wicked criminal and a terrible tyrant. God has put him in our reach." "No," said Hussein, "I'm not willing to be the one who begins the fight." Shemr and his troops returned towards the Kufan army. Hussein asks for his camel. Joan brings his camel to him and helps him to mount. Hussein goes towards the Kufan army, flanked by Habib ibn Muzahir and Burayr. Seeing him approaching, Umar ibn Sa'd orders the trumpets and drums to be silenced. Hussein draws close and, stopping just a few meters away from the army, calls out at the top of his voice, "O people of Iraq, listen to my words and do not haste, and give me justice in what I advise you." Even in this last moment, Hussein is trying to stop these criminals from the great crime they are just about to commit. "If you don't see justice in my words, then carry out your plan against me without giving me any respite. My trust is in the one who sent down the book. Inna waliya Allah alladhi nazzala al-kitab wa huwa yatawalla as-salihin. Trace back my descent and consider who I am. Then look back at yourself and ponder if you are blameless. Is it right for you to slay me and to violate the honor of my womenfolk? Am I not the son of the daughter of your prophet? Was not my father Ali the first person who ever believed in the message of the Lord? Have you not heard the word of the messenger of God who said concerning me and my brother Al-Hasan wal-Husayn, Sayyida Shabab Ahl al-Jannah, that Hassan and Hussein are the lords of the youth of the paradise? I swear by the Lord that I have never uttered a single lie since I learned that God hated liars. But if you think I am a liar, there are among you those who can attest to what I say. Ask the companions of the Prophet who are still alive among you. Ask Jabir ibn Abdullah Ansari, Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, Sahl ibn Sa'd al-Sa'idi, Zayd ibn Arqam, Anas ibn Malik. Ask them to tell you that they heard these words from the mouth of the Messenger of God. Is this not enough to prevent you shedding my blood? Shem moves his horse forward and says, "I have no faith in God if I understand what you say." Habib shouts at him, "And I testify that you are correct. You do not understand anything of what he says because God has sealed your heart." Hussein continues without paying any attention. "If you are in doubt about what I reported from the Prophet, then are you in any doubt that I am the son of the daughter of your Prophet? By God, there is no son of a prophet other than me among you and among the people from east to west. Shame on you. Are you seeking any retribution from me for one of your dead whom I have killed, or for a wound which I have inflicted, or for a property that I have expropriated?" Most eyes on the other side are cast downward. Hussein calls some of them by name. "O Shabath ibn Rab'i, Hajjar ibn Abjar, Qais ibn Ash'as, did you not write to me inviting me to come to you?" Qais replies, "We don't know what you say. Submit to the authority of Yazid, and he will treat you the way you like." Hussein, disappointed from their response, shouts, "No, by God, I will not give you my hand in humiliation, nor I will flee from you like a fugitive. I say, as it is said in the book of God, I seek the protection of my Lord and your Lord from every conceited arrogant who does not believe in the day of judgment." Hussein goes back and makes his mount kneel. Uqbat ibn Sam'an ties his camel. The drums start beating again, and the army continues advancing forward. Hur is visibly impressed by Hussein's speech. Accompanied by his friend Qurrat ibn Qais, he slowly moves towards Ibn Sa'd and asks, "Ibn Sa'd, Do you really mean to fight this man? Ibn Sa'd replies with unusual determination, yes, a battle that easiest of which will be falling of heads and flight of limbs. Wouldn't what he has offered you meet your satisfaction, says Hur. Ibn Sa'd replies, it would if the matter rested in my hand, but your emir, Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad, would refuse. Hur wants to say something, but foregoes and leaves. Qurra follows him. When they are some distance from the main army, Hur stops and says, Qurra, have you watered your horse today? Why do you ask, says Qurra. Don't you want to water it, says Hur. Qurra is surprised by his suggestion and asks, why do you want to leave the battle? I said, don't you want to water your horse? Qurra nods and says, yes, I was actually just about to do that. Qurra leaves. Hur stands alone, and after a few thoughtful moments, moves his horse slowly and hesitantly towards Hussein's camp. A dispatch of Ibn Sa'd's soldiers far ahead of the main army see Hur approaching. When Hur passes by them, their commander asks him, are you going to battle, Hur? Hur does not reply, but they notice that he is trembling. The commander says, your behavior is surprising, Hur. I've never seen you act like this in any battle. If I was ever asked who was the bravest of the Kufans, I would not have mentioned any name but yours. What is this shaking I see in you? Hur replies, I see my soul suspended between heaven and hell. Then, as if talking to himself, he continues resolutely, and I will not choose anything unless it leads to paradise, even if I'm cut to pieces and burnt to ashes. He whips his horse and gallops over towards Hussein's camp. Hussein, sitting on his horse and flanked by a couple of his companions, see Hur approaching. Hur comes close, stands before Hussein, drops his shield and his hood and his sword. He hesitates about what to say for a few moments and then speaks with a quivering voice. Grandson of the Prophet, may my soul be your ransom. I am the one who prevented you from going back. I forced you onto this route and made you camp in this barren place. But I never thought that these people would reject what you offered them or would take such a position against you. I swear by God, had I known they would end up treating you like this, I would never have done what I did. He pauses for a while and then says, now, I want to repent to God for all that I've done. Would there be any chance for repentance in this at all? Hussein smiles at him and replies, yes, may the Lord accept your repentance. Get down and have some rest. Hur replies, I'm more useful on my horse, although eventually they will bring me down. Hussein replies, do as you wish. May God have mercy on you. Hur moves towards the camps to see for himself the horrific scenes of the thirst and terrified women and children. All faces are dry and all lips blistery. Hur turns his rein and gallops resolutely towards Ibn Sa'd's army. They watch him getting closer with surprise. He stands at a good distance and shouts, people of Kufa, may your mothers be deprived of their sons and tears come to their eyes. Have you invited this righteous man to your land? Then when he has come to you, have you handed him over to his enemies? Did you claim that you would protect him with your lives and now you insist to kill him? You have laid hold of his life. You have seized his throat. You have encircled him on every side, preventing him to travel in God's land. You have prevented him, his children, his womenfolk, and his people to drink from the water of Euphrates, of which all creatures freely drink. They are likely to die of thirst. How wicked you have treated the offspring of Muhammad. May God not give you water to drink on the day of thirst. A few archers from Kufa camp come forward and pelt him with arrows. He deflects them with his shield and goes back and stands in front of Hussein. Ibn Sa'd, angry of Hur's defection, yells at Durayd, "Durayd, bring forth the standard." While Durayd is coming forth, Ibn Sa'd puts an arrow in his bow and shoots, shouting, "Be my witness before Ibn Ziyad that I shot the first arrow." Muslim ibn Awsaja goes before Hussein and says, "My lord, on behalf of all your companions, may I request a favor?" "What favor?" asked Hussein. "That no man from the house of the Prophet ever goes forth for battle before we all have ceased to exist. We very much hope that our request is granted, so that our hearts rest assured that we have defended the family of our Prophet with the blood that runs in our hearts." Suddenly, a barrage of arrows darkens the air, and Ibn Sa'd's cavalry is mobilized. The archers of Hussein respond the shooting, but no one in any of the two camps is hurt. Amr ibn Hajjaj launches a fierce attack on the right wing of Hussein's troops. Habib commands his foot soldiers to go forth, and they manage to drive them back. Hur goes before Hussein and asks, "My lord, do you allow me to go for single battle, for single combat?" Hussein nods. Hur goes forth and stands before the Kufan troops and starts to brag, "Who would dare to be my match so that I drench the shaft of my spear in his blood?" A formidable man comes out and stands before him. "You brag too much, Hur, while you deserve a little. I already smell your blood on the blade of my sword." Hur engages with him and soon brings him down. Nafi ibn Hilal stands out and asks for a match. He also soon kills his contender. Another man comes out from Hussein's camp and asks for his match. However, angry and frustrated, Amr ibn Hajjaj shouts, "You stupid idiots, don't you realize who are you fighting? You will all be killed by them if you go to single combat. These are knights of the town who have come here seeking death. Don't let anyone fight in single combat with them. There are only a few of them. You could finish them off even by throwing stones at them." Umar ibn Sa'd, hearing his cry, tells Durayd, "He's right. Get the message through to all the commanders that none of their men should fight in single combat." Amr ibn Hajjaj launches another attack from the direction of the Euphrates. A fierce battle starts with the perseverance of the small right wing of Hussein against the enormous troops of Amr, helped by more soldiers from the main army. Shemr is watching to see if the left wing of Hussein's troops would make a mistake and move to support the right wing. However, Habib vigilantly stands in place with Shem's troops under strict observation. In the heat of the battle, Muslim ibn Awsaja is struck down. Amr and his men eventually withdraw. When the dust settles, Hussein and his followers find Muslim stretched out, dying. Hussein dismounts and walks towards him, sits beside his head, removes dust and blood from his face, and says, "May God have mercy on you, Muslim. This is as is written in the book, 'فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ قَضَى نَحْبَهُ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَنْتَذَرُ.' Of them are some who have fulfilled their pledge, and of them are some who still wait." Habib rushes to him and sits beside him with tears in his eyes. "Muslim," said Habib, "your death is hard for me to bear. Rejoice with the good news of heaven." Muslim replies with a very weak voice, "May God bring you good news too." Habib says, "I would have liked to carry out all your wishes if I was not sure that I would follow you soon." Muslim dies with his head in Habib's hands. Shemr charges against the left wing. Habib leaves Muslim and rushes towards his troops. In the ensuing fierce battle, Shemr is forced to retreat. The cavalry under Urwat ibn Qais then attacks from all sides. Hussein's cavalry put him in the middle and defends him from all directions, even though there are only 32 horsemen. They do not attack any side of the Kufan cavalry without putting it to flight. seeing the flight of his men, always shouts at his officer, "Where are the archers? Why doesn't Ibn Sa'd send in the archers?" Ibn Sa'd commands Ibn Numayr to move the archers. The battle continues with no respite. Huge numbers of archers move forth. Ibn Numayr and Harmala put them in array and order them to shoot. A rain of arrows pour down on Hussein's cavalry. Many men are hit and many horses are lamed. Hur loses his horse. He continues fighting on foot, but is soon overpowered and struck down. Since the arrows hit men from both sides, the Kufan army retreats. Hussein's army also goes back, taking their casualties with them. As they put Hur's body down, Hussein walks to him and sits by his body. His forehead is cleaved by the stroke of a sword. Hussein wipes his eyes and his eyebrows of blood and ties a green strap round his forehead. He kisses his hand and whispers, "You were a free man, Hur, as your mother named you." Your Hur means free man. Watching the situation, Shemr charges towards the camps with his troops. Zuhair attacks them with 10 horsemen and in a fierce engagement manages to drive them back. The archers go forward again and pelt Hussein's men with arrow. Many of Hussein's men are hit. While the battle is going, Hussein, who is watching the combat, turns his face upwards to sky. The sun is in the middle of the sky. A companion of Hussein, seeing this, asks, "You see, since morning, since Fajr, 30,000 men are trying to defeat these 72 people. You see how honorably they are fighting." A companion of Hussein, seeing this, asks, "Shall I call the Adhan, my lord?" "Yes, may God have mercy on you." The companions call to the prayer. The companion calls to the prayer. Upon hearing the voice of the Adhan, Hussein's troops gradually retreat. Hussein takes off his armor and puts on a clean white turban and orders Zuhair and Sa'id al-Hanafi to stand before him with half of his troops, and he starts the prayer, leading the other half. Taking this as an opportunity, Ibn Sa'd orders his archers to move forward. Again, so mean they are fighting. The prayers is standing, is running, and they want to kill people while they are praying. Again, they hail Hussein and his troops with arrows. Most of the arrows are warded off by the shields put together by both cavalry and foot soldiers. However, some come down by the praying congregation. Seeing the danger, Sa'id al-Hanafi moves quickly to stand before Hussein as a human shield. While he's doing this, the two halves of the group of Hussein's companions switch places so that those who have not prayed have a chance to pray behind Hussein. Arrows start to fall close to Hussein. Sa'id wards off any shot coming at Hussein by his hands, arms, and body. He's hit several times, but struggles to continue standing as a shield. As Hussein finishes his prayer, Sa'id falls in his hands. His body is pierced by innumerable arrows. Hussein carries him in his arms and lays his body beside the other martyrs. Hussein's troops line up again. Hussein rides his horse and goes to stand in their midst. Abbas ibn Shabib comes out of the line and stands before Hussein. "My lord, would you allow me to go for single battle?" Hussein nods. Abbas goes forth and calls for a contender. But they don't fight single combat. No one moves forward. Abbas discards his shield, shouting, "Come forth, you cowards. I have no shield. Isn't there a single man among you brave enough to fight a soldier without a shield?" As he receives no reply, Abbas was very, very strong. No one dared to come close. As he receives no reply, he starts to take off all his armors as well. "Forth, you chickens, I am now naked." As he still receives no reply, he charges forward into the troops. He puts on a formidable fight, killing and maiming many before he is struck down. Then Joan comes and stands before Hussein. "Do you allow me, my lord?" You have come here to serve us, says Hussein, not to fight. You are not expected to go to battle. Tears come to Joan's eyes. You mean I'm not noble enough to have the honor of fighting before you and protecting your kin from these vile people? Hussein hugs him, and they clasp each other firmly. Joan leaves. Hussein mounts his horse and stands in line with the members of his family. There are 18 men, and none of the companions are left with them. Joan fights bravely and falls after striking down several men. Abbas and Ali Akbar rush and disperse enemy troops to let others bring his body back. Now that all companions of Hussein are killed, Ali Akbar goes and stands before his father. Father, do you allow me now to go and fight? Hussein says firmly, go, my son. Ali Akbar turns and trots towards the enemy. As he distances from his father, Hussein turns to sky with a tearful eye. Oh, my exalted Lord, you are the greatest witness that they are now fighting a noble youth who alone among all men is closest to your prophet in speech and talk, in behavior, character, and even in his walk. His beautiful face and superlative manner were so that whenever I suffered from missing the Holy Prophet, I set my gaze on him to console my heart. Ali Akbar stands before the Kufans and draws his sword, saying, I am Ali, son of the noblest of all men, Hussein, who is closer to the Prophet than anyone else on the earth plane. I swear that so long as my hands can hold a sword, I will defend my father against your ignoble horde. He then immediately charges. Wherever he attacks, he scatters the Kufans, but he takes innumerable wounds himself. To take a respite, he breaks the circle of Kufans round him and rides back to his father. Thirsty, wounded, bleeding, stands before Hussein and says, panting, Father, the thirst is killing me, and the burden of the heavy armor is hampering me. Is there any chance of just a sip of water? Hussein cries loudly. This is one of the places that Hussein cried loudly. Hussein cries loudly, just go, my son. It is only for a little while longer. You will soon visit your grandfather, the prophet, and he will quench your thirst. Go. Ali Akbar gallops back to the battlefield. He fights until he is hit by a spear in his heart, in his side. He falls on his horse's neck, whose own face is hit by a sword, and who therefore cannot find his way out of the enemy's siege. While the horse is struggling, every Kufan strikes a sword at Ali Akbar. He is torn to shreds and falls from his horse, whereupon the Kufans leave him. Hussein rushes towards him with a group of his men. While the others take guard, Hussein dismounts and sits by Ali Akbar's body, his eyes full of tears. He puts Ali Akbar's head on his lap and wipes blood from his eyes. He then kisses his forehead and puts his cheek on Ali's and says, weeping, may God show no mercy to these who killed you. How foolhardy they are against the Lord in violating the sanctity of the Prophet. He then raises his hand and, looking at Ali's body, says, Ala dunya ba'daka al-afa. May dust be on the world after you. Hussein's attention is distracted towards Zainab, who's hurrying towards them, crying, my dear one, my nephew, my dear one, my brother. She throws herself on the dead body of Ali Akbar and weeps. Hussein waits for a few moments and then raises her head and leads her back to the tent. On his way, he requests the young men of his family, saying, bring your brother back. As they bring Ali Akbar's corpse back, the battle continues at the front. An arrow is shot at Abdullah ibn Muslim ibn Aqil. He tries to deflect it with his hand, but the arrow shoots his hand to his forehead. A spear comes hurtling in an attack, piercing his heart and killing him while he's unable to defend himself. Other members of Hussein's family are then attacked. Abbas fights valiantly but cannot stop his relatives falling one after another. In the heat of the battle, Aun and Ja'far, sons of Zainab, are killed. Zainab watches but does not move from her place and does not show any expression of grief, lest Hussein become ashamed. Eventually, after many are killed, Abbas and his brothers manage to drive the enemy back. They gather round Hussein. They are the only ones together there at the front. Qasim and Abdullah, sons of Hassan, and a few other of Hussein's kins are further back in position. The Kufans attack again with a large dispatch. Abbas asks his brother to go and ward them off. Abbas asks his brothers, the three brothers from Ummul Bani, to go and ward them off. The trio go and make a manifest fight, managing to drive the enemy back. They are, however, eventually surrounded and killed. Now, Qasim ibn Hassan, who is on foot, goes forward and stands before Hussein. "Uncle, do I have your permission now?" Hussein dismounts and looks at him for a while. Qasim's face is shining, although his lips are blistered with thirst. Hussein caresses his hair and smells it. Tears come to his eyes. "The fragrance of my brother Hassan." Qasim repeats, "Can I go, uncle?" "But how could I let you? You cannot even wear a piece of armor." "It doesn't matter," said Qasim. "Did you not tell me last night that I could also become a martyr?" "Yes, but I cannot let you go. Please, uncle, please, how can I leave? How can I live after you?" They hug and cry. Hussein reluctantly lets go of Qasim and nods his permission. Qasim smiles and leaves. Hussein walks a few steps after him, and as if trying to hold him back, he stops. Qasim goes forth and stands before the troops, the foot soldiers. He's wearing only a shirt, no armor matches him. A waistcloth and a pair of sandals are his only wares, one of whose straps are broken. He shouts, "Just in case you don't know me, I am Qasim, a branch of Hassan, the grandson of the Prophet." "Shame on you. This is Hussein among you, like a captive held hostage in this desolate desert." While he's talking, one of the horsemen says to his fellow combatant, "Who is this boy? I will make his mother mourn for him." His companion replies, "Why? He's just a child. Why do you want his blood on your hands?" "He's just some brazen, loud-mouthed kid," says the man. Meanwhile, Qasim has started fighting with one of the foot soldiers. The horseman charges towards him and, passing by him from the back, strikes his head with his sword. Qasim is knocked down, shouting, "Uncle!" Hussein gallops towards him. In an instant attack, the horseman attacks the horseman and strikes him with sword. The man tries to fend off the blow with his arm, but his arm is sliced off at the blow. He gives out a loud shriek, which is heard by the soldiers in his camp. They charge forward to save him, but in the ensuing battle, he's trampled to death under the horse's hooves. A large dust cloud covers the whole scene. As it clears, Hussein is seen sitting over Qasim's body. Qasim is rubbing his feet against the ground in pain, caressing Qasim's face. Hussein says in tears, "May God withdraw his mercy from those who killed you. Their complainant on the day of judgment will be your grandfather." Qasim utters with a very weak voice, "Uncle." Hussein replies, "Ah, it is hard for your uncle that you call him and he does not respond. Or rather, he responds, but he could not save you. For by God, his enemies are too many." and his helpers are few. Hussein lifts Qasim in his arm and brings him back and puts him beside his son's body, Ali Akbar. He throws a glance at the bodies of all his young relatives. Then he goes and stands in front of the army and shouts, "Is no one out there to protect the women of the family of the Prophet? Isn't there anyone to fear God regarding us?" In the army of Ibn Sa'd, some cast their heads down while the smile of victory covers the faces of others. Hussein, intent to go to the battle, goes to Zainab and says, "Zainab, bring me my little boy to bid him farewell." Zainab brings Ali Asghar and gives it to Hussein. Hussein fondles Ali's parched lips with his finger, then hopelessly tries to get some saliva from his own mouth to rub on his face, on his lips. Then he lifts him up to kiss his cheek, but no sooner a three-pronged arrow hits his throat. Blood splashes on Hussein's face. Zainab rushes towards Hussein and holds Ali. Hussein helplessly watches blood gushing out of Ali's throat. He holds his hand under Ali's throat. His hand gets filled with water, with blood. Hussein looks at it for a while and then throws it up to the sky and shouts, "My Lord, what makes all my calamities easy is the fact that you are watching. If you have withdrawn the help of heaven from us, let it be so, for your purpose is better than immediate help." He then takes Ali from Zainab and brings him to where other bodies are lying. Cuddling and caressing him, he leaves him to rest there. While other children are watching, Hussein looks at their parched lips and faces. He then goes resolutely to Abbas and says, "Abbas, let's go and get some water." Abbas nods in happy agreement. Hussein and Abbas ride their horses in full armor, each with a water skin on his shoulder. They start at a fleeting gallop towards the river. The guards are alarmed and form a thick line to meet them. Hussein and Abbas fiercely hit their lines. The battle is so intense that Ibn Sa'd sends more troops to combat the two men who are fighting alone. Even the archers are called. Amr ibn Hajjaj shouts, force them apart. You cannot win so long as they are together." Hussein and Abbas resist parting, but eventually the troops create some distance between them. Abbas moves close to the river and Hussein is held back. The fighting continues until an arrow sits in Hussein's chin and forces him to withdraw while Abbas is moving forward. Hussein goes and stands at a distance and while watching Abbas's advancement, plucks the arrow out. Blood gushes out of Hussein's chin. Hussein ties the wound with a piece of cloth. Abbas, bloodied by his wounds, rides his horse into the river and quickly dismounts. Instinctively, he fills his palms with water and brings them close to his mouth. However, catching sight of Hussein's thirsty face, he pours the water back and, deflecting arrows with his shield, he fills his water skin after a fashion. No one dares to go close to him. He then rides his horse and emerges from the river. Looking at the thick lines of Kufan troops in front of him, he decides to take a diversion towards the palm trees, which seem to be longer but free of troops. Galloping with full speed, he fights his way through, striking with sword anyone who dared to block his way. A group of riders are guarding the area of the palms. Arriving at the palm trees, Abbas pauses for a few seconds, looking around and inspecting the area. He then chooses a route and rushes through. As he passes by the trees, one of the horsemen who has ambushed behind the tree suddenly jumps out and strikes his right arm with his sword. The arm is severed and drops down, followed by the water skin. Abbas manages to grab the water skin with his left hand and puts it round his neck. He pauses for a moment, panting, bleeding, shouts, even if you have cut my right arm, I'm going to support Hussein so long as I live. He's the grandson of your prophet, you traitors. Abbas starts riding again at full speed, swerving to avoid further ambushes. A couple of new ambushes are unsuccessfully launched against him, but he cannot escape the third one, in which his left arm is sliced off. Abbas pauses again. He can see the camp, but is considerably weakened and hardly able to spur his horse on. The horse circles for a couple of rounds before Abbas manages to control it with his knees. He starts looking straight towards the camps again. However, disappointment stops him as he watches the arrows landing in the water skin. As the water flows on his body, he loses hope. Suddenly, a two-pronged arrow hits his eyes. His horse whinnies loudly and circles round. A soldier charges at him and strikes him on the head with a long mace, causing him to fall from his horse. Hussein rushes to him. Looking at the nearly mutilated body of his brother, he cries out loud. He plucks the arrow from his brother's eyes and kisses him, hugs and embraces him. An uproar of joy is heard from the Kufan army. Hussein stands. The only thing he can say is, Al-an inkasara dhahri. Now my back is broken. Ibn Sa'd and his retinue watch Hussein taking the reins of his horse, and while still crying, he leaves Abbas. Hussein, now completely broken, returns to the camp, holding his horse behind. The left wing of Ibn Sa'd's army moves. Hussein rides again and joins the three members of his family who are still alive. They set out towards the left wing. A fierce battle forces the troops back, but only after the three companions of Hussein are killed. Hussein returns to his camp to catch some breath. Now he has to single-handedly challenge the 30,000 troops of Kufa. Zainab, Sukaina, Rubab, and other women come out of the tents. They go and stand before Hussein, trying hard to control their tears. Hussein dismounts and tells them, "You are going to have hard times after me. You will see things much worse than what you saw today. I want you to be firm." Durayd, carrying the standard, goes to Ibn Sa'd and asks, "What is the command?" Ibn Sa'd replies, "Tell Shabbas to move the foot soldiers and take the camps." The trumpets begin to blow and drums are beaten, and the imposing foot soldiers move. Hussein mounts his horse and puts on his hood and draws his sword. No one is outside the tent now except Zainab. The troops have drawn closer. Hussein takes a deep breath and charges forward with lightning speed. He hits the battery of foot soldiers like a thunderstorm, smashing them from every side. The foot soldiers retreat. Hussein recites his genealogy. أنا الحسين ابن علي نحن وبيت الله أولى بالنبي. I am Hussein, son of Ali. I swear by God, we are closer to the Prophet. Hussein returns and stands in his original position near his camp, catching his breath. He says, لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. The cavalry from the left wing moves towards his camps. Hussein charges towards the left wing. Now one man is defending his whole family. Again he hits hard and puts up an enormous battle. The troops run away from him from all directions. Seeing his way open, he rides towards the river. As he fights his way towards the water, the right wing of the Kufan troops move towards his camp. Catching sight of this, he quickly returns and shouts at Shemr, "Shemr, if you have no faith and do not fear the hereafter, at least have integrity of character in your life." "What do you want, son of Ali?" says Shemr. "Why are you going to my camps? Fight me so long as I'm alive." Shemr replies with his devilish smirk, "You are granted that." They charge towards him, but he puts them into flight again and returns to his elevated piece of land to catch some breath. The thirst makes him see everything blurred and smoky. He utters his favorite clause again, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Hussein launches another attack. This time, before reaching the enemy lines, a hail of arrows come to him. He deflects some with his shield, but is hit by some others. He engages with the troops while his back has started to resemble as a hedgehog due to the many arrows sticking out of it. The troops are dispersed, but the bleeding has consumed Hussein's energy. He stops, surrounded by the troops. From a height, Zainab is watching the battle with great concern. A spearman rides towards Hussein. Hussein now cannot move. Spearman charges his spear into his side. As Hussein begins to fall from the horse, he utters, Bismillah wa billah. Hussein lands on the soil, but immediately gets up. He fends off a couple of attacks using his sword, but the horseman hits him hard on the shoulder, causing him to fall again. Zainab cries and moves forward. Hussein is now surrounded by a huge number of soldiers, all of whom are trying to strike him with whatever weapon they have. Hussein's horse, Dhul Jannah, struggles out of the crowd and gallops toward the camps as if calling for help. Suddenly, Abdullah ibn Hassan dashes towards his uncle, shouting and crying, Leave him! Leave my uncle alone! Zainab jumps towards him to hold him back, but he struggles himself free of her. Zainab weeps and shouts, No, Abdullah, no, please don't go. She watches helplessly as Abdullah wends his way through the crowd, and when after a short while, his dead body is thrown out. Dhul Jannah, his saddle dangling upside down, goes to the camp and circles the tents, gnawing. The women come out of their tents and seeing Dhul Jannah with inverted saddle start creeping. The horse gallops back to the battlefield. The women hug each other and weep. After a short while, the horse comes back with his face covered in blood. The women circle around him and cry, but soon they are dispersed as the Kufan troops attack the camp and set fire to the tents. The Battle of Karbala ended with the martyrdom of Hussein, but the story did not end there and is relived again and again. Ashura was not the day of eventual conclusion, rather it was the beginning of an everlasting inspiration. The message of Hussein flowed through the tunnel of time to reach the future generations with ever-refreshing impact. It was imparted by history, by passion, and by tears. His Shiites made Karbala a place of pilgrimage, and his soil a sacred and valuable object on which they prostrate before God. And in this way, his message has echoed down the centuries, through thick and impenetrable walls of time and across the length and breadth of the planet. The message of nobility and honor. Even if you have no faith and do not fear the hereafter, at least be free in your life and have integrity of character. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa alihi at-tahirin.